El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to host a podcast called Unpopular Opinion, and that podcast was this podcast. But then everyone else in the world decided they liked the name Unpopular Opinion a lot too, so we changed the name to You Don't Even Like This Show. Each week, me and a couple of guests selected from a pool of the absolute sharpest minds the LA entertainment scene has to offer, use this here space to talk about whatever the hell we want. News, pop culture, politics, information, you name it, we talk about it. And sometimes my co-host Jeff May is here too. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show, a podcast about news, information, politics, candy, religion, guns, whatever we want to talk about, honestly. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week. Ooh, my favorite co-host of all. No co-host. But I do have a couple of top-notch guests. Case in point, joining us again for the first time in a long time, T.T. Lee is here.
Hello. What's up? I'm glad that you guys don't need an intro song because I did not come up with one. But I can sing my hello. It's good to be here. I stopped taking my medicine because I want to have a baby. So if I get distracted, it's because I'm not on Adderall anymore.
I was just about to sing the exact same thing. Damn it.
Too bad. I beat you
did you read that in the notes? Is that what happened? You read that in the notes?
Yeah, I definitely did. Yeah. Who's that guy? The Marvin. Oh, call me. I already failed. The guy who stole Marvin from Marvin Gaye. You know, blurred line. Call me Robin Thicke.
Oh, Robin Thicke. I didn't know if we were going Robin Thicke or Ed Sheeran.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
But we only found one of them guilty because everyone likes Ed Sheeran.
I believe that Ed Sheeran writes music. I mean, look at him. He has to, you know, like.
He's not going to be allowed out of the house if he doesn't.
Yeah, he needs to have something going for him. Whereas like Robin Thicke, I'm like, you probably have other things going and you're a predator. But anyways.
Ethan Lawrence, is it angering you that we're talking this way about Ed Sheeran?
No, I don't have any particular strong feelings about Ed Sheeran.
Oh, because you sound like you would have strong feelings about
it. What does that mean?
Because your name both starts with an E.
Yeah,
Ethan, that's it. That's Ed. Fair.
Yeah, yeah, that's all. That's all. Ethan Lawrence is here too. How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going well. It's me, the sharpest mind in the LA comedy scene, a city that I've never been to and a country I've never visited. Back at it again. Wide Delts, baby.
Woo! You all know Ethan from movies and TV shows. He was in Magic Mike. He's in, well, I still can't get your BBC show here, I don't think, right?
I was Googling it beforehand and it's taking a long time to emerge, but it will. It will.
Bastards. Bastards. Call your reps.
You can have it when we're good and ready.
So thank you both for joining me. We're doing a local news roundup episode. I normally make Ethan do the international news stuff and then answer for every UK transgression that comes up.
And European transgression, to be fair. And South American.
Yeah, kind of just the rest of the world.
The rest of the world.
Yeah, that's all on Ethan.
Is local, like, you know, local news is, you know, because it's like not national in relativity to if we're in America, and then international is like local. Isn't that wild how it's like the further away you go, the less it matters too? Not really, but you know what I mean? Like international equals local. You know what? I'm going to shut up now.
I mean, I have been questioned about the premise of these episodes from time to time in that when I say local news from around the country, don't I just mean news? Kind of like that's just news. But I do actually go through a bunch of different headlines from local news outlets around the country to find these stories. And a lot of times it's stuff that isn't getting national attention, like how your cat might give you bubonic plague.
That was a segue and a half.
Thank you. The segue brought to you by Segway. Segway, when you need a segue, segue. So, yeah, someone's cat in Oregon gave him bubonic plague. Naughty kitty.
For Christmas or like just any other day?
I don't. Yeah, just
It seems like just a casual gifting situation, although we are close to Christmas. Maybe it was both. But for all the youngs who weren't around back then, bubonic plague was responsible for the Black Death in medieval Europe. Killed millions of people, and that's a lot. The person who contracted it is not named, but we know they live in Deschutes County. Favorite Deschutes County hotspots, go.
I've never been to Deschutes County, but I've been to DeSnake County. That's a board game reference.
I didn't get it. I remember the song Ring Around the Rosie was, do you guys remember? I mean, I don't know, Ethan, this, I don't know if the Ed Sheeran side of the world grew up with the song, but Ring Around the Rosie was based on the bubonic plague.
Yeah, a pocket full of posies, a tissue we all fall down, which is bright sparks coming up with that. It's a beautiful song.
That's a little grim, I'm going to be honest.
Well, maybe it's coming back. Time to drop the remix because the bubonic plague is back.
Are we going to need it?
It sure is back. I mean, I guess I thought this was a little more rare than it is, but this also happened most recently in Oregon in 2015. So I guess the plague just pops up from time to time because it's all the squirrels and the chipmunks and the mice and all those dirty ass rodents running around. Somehow rats did not, in this article we'll link to, they talk about the rodents that spread it, and rats don't even get mentioned. I don't know if Big Rat is in the Guardian's pocket.
The editor of the Guardian, for those who don't know, is actually a large anthropomorphic rat. He's called Mr. Rat.
The New York Strike Rat.
He's from the old family rat.
It's an actual Guardian. Yeah, yeah. I'm wearing my. I mentioned this shirt on a recent episode. Orkin puts these out every year to commemorate the rattiest city in America, and it's Chicago. 9 years running, baby.
Love it.
Hell yeah. Congratulations to Chicago.
Yeah. And I know all the people listening to this in their cars appreciated that visual break.
Surprised that New York is not the rattiest. Is it the most rats or more like rattiest, like as in like it, like more like it's ratty, it's cool. I don't know. No,
it's most rats.
Really? New York is not the most rattiest city?
Not only is New York not the rattiest, LA is second.
There's no way. I see so many. Maybe the rats are friendlier in New York because, like, I lived in both New York and LA. And let me tell you, the amount of rats I've accidentally kicked, grazed my feet, run across my skin, disgusting, on the subway, more than here.
They're all in cars and, like, taking acting classes and doing all that stuff that people in the Midwest think everyone in LA does. Same with the rats. They're at brunch. They don't have time to brush against your feet.
What do rats have for brunch?
That's a good question. Hopefully still mimosas. I hope rats are getting hammered.
You'd like to think so. Early in the morning, you know, about to sprint across someone's foot.
So it's probably the rodents and the rats and the mice that led to this good baby kitty contracting the bubonic plague and then passing it on to its owner. Do you think it was probably like some little snoot boops? I think it was like it was that?
Well, yeah, I hope so, because the alternative is that a bubo exploded on someone, which is no bueno, as they say in Mexico.
That's true.
How did you I want to know how they found out. Like, so what are the symptoms of the plague? Because I would just be like, I've got a bad flu, and then like, at what point are you like, I've got the plague? It was definitely that time I kissed my cat.
Yeah, that's a lot of detective work that someone is doing here. Because it first of all, would take me a while to just like stop taking COVID tests, because that feels like the only question anymore is it COVID? No. All right. I'm just going to ride it out, I guess. And you're never thinking, no, it's not COVID. It's the fucking Black Death. I've mentioned before, I had scarlet fever at one point in high school. And even my doctor was like, what are you doing? It's not the 1800s anymore. How do you still have scarlet fever? It was because I had strep throat and didn't get it treated.
I feel like kids get the weird ones.
Oh, for sure. But like that being said, like I don't know how it is over in the States, but like we've been having lots of news, not to drag it back to the old Britain, but there's been considerable reports that a lot of old time illnesses are coming back just because of lack of nutrition and like crumbling infrastructure. So like we've seen, like, you know, rickets has come back, scurvy.
Scurvy? Isn't that literally like you have to eat not a single fruit for like months?
Yeah, lack of vitamin C. Pirates used to get it. Now it just happens in London.
You guys need some fruits.
Yeah,
we sure do.
And by that I mean queers. Hey, I'll fly me out to London. I'll fruit it up.
Famously, none in London.
Oh yeah, it's the straightest capital in the world.
Man, I saw the video for Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood recently, but it was just on in a coffee shop where I guarantee they were not expecting that video when they signed up for whatever 80s fucking music video package to entertain their guests. I was like, that is the gayest thing I've ever seen in a good way.
I love those I feel like I used, there's this club called, Rage in West Hollywood. If anyone knows it, you definitely know exactly who I was in college. But it's just like it was an 18 up like gay bar, but like the, you know, they would play those music videos, and I feel like, oh no, that was Tiger Heat was the one I'm thinking of. They play music videos, and it would be like stuff like that. It's just like old 80s, and you know, like the people dressed in nurse outfits hammering, and I love that shit because it's like the songs sound like you're so used to hearing on the radio, and you're like, okay, yeah, whatever, it's like old timey dance music, and then you see the video like, this is so ratchet.
So if you think you have the plague, please note these are the symptoms. They begin 2 to 8 days after exposure, so I guess write it down. If something happens out in the world and you're like, shit, I think I might have just been exposed to the plague, here's what to watch for: fever, nausea, weakness, chills, muscle aches, and visibly swollen lymph nodes called buboes. That's where the bubonic plague gets its name. And if it catches on, that is what we are all going to call it, is the bubo, without even knowing that last fact. Like that.
I've got the boobies.
Yeah.
Boobos.
Bubo.
So we used to learn a lot about this in history class when we were younger, because obviously it being a largely European part, you know, a big part of European history, like it decimated the population. So I've seen like diagrams of like what these sort of bubo things look like. So it's like under the armpits and like in all like really inconvenient places, and like it like swells up to like almost like fist sized pustules. It's gross.
Oh no.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
So it's like having the flu, but also you're covered in these horrible bumps. And then you die.
Something about the fact that, like, in America, like, the more removed we are, the more we kind of joke about it. And, like, you saying that, like, it just kind of hit me, like, oh, yeah, no, this was terrible. I mean, obviously, we know it's terrible. A lot of people die. That's why we learn about it. But it makes me think, like, in the future, are we going to be looking at COVID? And I mean, we're kind of already, are people already trying to joke about it, just, I think, out of coping. But I'm like, in 50 years, people are just going to be, like, having, like, children's rhymes about COVID, dressing up as COVID patients for Halloween. Like it's kind of wild how we do that. I think it's survival, but like the fact that when you said that, I was like, yeah, I don't remember learning that. I just remember being like, the Black Plague, ha ha ha. Like kind of like, people die, it's so sad, I'm glad it's over. Like we didn't go into detail.
Yeah, it's, I think 9/11 is really probably the next thing where it's just really ripe for jokes now that 20 plus years have passed. And it's obviously like the biggest tragedy in this nation's history, slavery and the genocide of indigenous people aside, obviously. But now, man, you don't catch heat for a 9/11 joke anymore. There was Gilbert Gottfried lost jobs over 9/11 jokes, but that's because he was making them on like 9/12, whereas everyone else waited a decade and a half before we went in on the 9/11 victims. Or am I the only one still making 9/11 jokes?
I think that you're right, because the generation thing is people who are now adults and younger than me who don't have memories of the day it happened. Like, even though I was young, I remember like watching it on the TV and, you know, the whole aftermath of it. So the fact that if you don't remember it, it's going to feel like removed, you know?
There are people in your country right now who were born in a post 9/11 world and can only just now drink. That's wild.
I remember when I worked at Cracked, I was talking to a writer about an article they were working on, and I brought up Tony Robbins, and they were like, I don't know who Tony Robbins is. And I was like, how do you not know Tony Robbins? And they were like, dude, I don't remember 9/11. It's like, oh, ouch. fine.
I'm okay with Tony Robbins fading into obscurity. So
we'll always be able to see those teeth, no matter how far he fades into obscurity. His teeth will be glistening off the sun somewhere. So yeah, I guess avoid your cats is make your cats mask up at home. You don't get plague. That does seem like a solution.
Have you seen, there was a picture going around, sort of when we were at the kind of like the height of the pandemic, there was a picture going around from like the Spanish flu, like 100 odd years ago. And there was a picture going around. It was so cute because they actually had a cat with a mask on. It was like this family standing there with a mask and this cat with this like this tiny mask on.
Oh my God.
Yay.
And it was like, God, if that had gotten greater traction, someone could have become very rich with that idea.
Cat masks.
No pet masks.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt with a drawing of a cat wearing a COVID mask on it.
I know that some people got rich during the pandemic. That's all I know.
Yeah, yeah. $6 shirts, making a killing during the pandemic. Probably not, though. Who needed new clothes during the pandemic? All right, this next story. Ethan, are there children in the UK?
No.
Okay.
When we're born, we come out immediately 40 years old in a frock coat and top hat. For the ladies, a ball gown.
Explains a lot.
And we exist for about 5 years before succumbing to tuberculosis. No children here, I'm afraid.
That is everything I assumed. Well, we have them here, and sometimes they get taken off the streets. Like, people just snatch them up, be it to harvest adrenochrome or for other nefarious means, reasons. And when that happens in this country, we issue an Amber Alert, which means the government has your phone number and they are going to send you an alarming text message that a child has been kidnapped. And at that point, the community swings into action. We all hit the streets and start looking, which no, we don't. TT, did you get this Amber Alert where you are?
I'm going to lose a lot of people the few people who still like me right now. I turn off my Amber Alerts on my phone. I turn off all the, because they scare me, but also I'm always around someone who has them. And I was at Target and it did go off and I was made aware there was an Amber Alert. I looked around and no children were around me in distress. So I did my part.
That's because they've been kidnapped.
Yes, but no currently being kidnapped children were around me for me to save. And yes, I do turn off my Amber Alert. I wasn't sure if I was going to tell you guys that, but because you asked me so outright, I do not have my Amber Alerts on my phone. And I have not for years.
I mean, it is. I don't know what they're expecting. Like, I saw a comedy video about that once where the title was just what people expect when an Amber Alert goes off. And it was this dude playing video games and this Amber Alert goes off and he just throws the controller down, runs outside. He gets outside and there's people pouring out from the other houses and they all just take off looking for this kid. That does not happen. That never happens until this week. It happened. We got an Amber Alert, at least in my part of LA, which is closer to Long Beach. This incident happened in Long Beach. And I actually made a joke to my wife. I was like, all right, I'm going to go look for the kid. And I obviously was not. I had TV to watch. But there were two women in the area who got this alert and were like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to go look for this fucking kid. And they did. And they found him, which is nuts. They just randomly went driving around Long Beach. They had a description of the car and the license plate, which that's convenient. Because the way this happened, it was, I think it was just intended to be a car theft. Because this guy was driving for Uber Eats, yay, capitalism, with his 4-year-old kid in the back seat. And at one point stopped at a house to take food up. And when he did that, someone hopped in his car and drove off. And presumably looked in the back seat and was like, oh, fuck. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, this has just become a kidnapping charge. Damn it.
Yeah.
What? That's insane.
I'm going to be honest. I almost feel bad for the person who stole the car, too. Because, like, you don't expect that that's going to turn into. And they did catch him and charge him with kidnapping. So he's fucked forever.
Wow.
He was an unhoused gentleman.
So he just saw the opportunity and, man, that's tough because it seems like there's so many layers to that. I mean, obviously that's terrifying for the child and traumatic, But also, it seems pretty clear that was not the intent. But that doesn't matter because it still happened. But yeah, wow.
Yeah, sucks for him. But these two women, this article that we linked to in the notes only names one friend, Reagan Dunn. I don't know if the other friend is like a superhero of some sort. Maybe
I pulled it on a different article if anyone's interested.
I am very interested.
Yenny Lee.
That's a cool name. Why would you leave that out?
Yeah, Reagan Dunn and Yenny Lee. That, I mean, that does sound like a, I mean, Dunn and Lee. That really does sound like a cop show, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Dunn and Lee.
Dunn and Lee. Yeah.
I think they're both in their early 20s. So there go all your opinions about Gen Z being lazy, everybody.
Does it mean they get to keep the kid now?
Yeah, the kid's theirs and the car.
That's how that works. You save the kid, you get to keep the kid. Yeah.
I hope they get a reward of some sort. I don't know if this kid was even missing long enough for there to be a reward.
The kid could have had a cell phone. Maybe the kid, I mean, 4-year-old in the back of a car, probably had a cell phone.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
He's just playing the whole time. Do you think they gave him notice? He's just playing like Candy Crush on the back of the
phone. Dad's new friend is weird. What is this?
He looks really nervous. Wonder why.
That would suck. You're just trying to steal a car and oops, now you're a father. Damn.
I hope, which won't happen, but I hope Uber Eats is the one that has to pay for this, because I feel like what has been exposed is how, I don't know, just that, first of all, like, they don't pay. I drive Uber and it's like, there's no way you can really make a good living on that. And this man, clearly desperate, driving his kid around, doing Uber Eats, has no childcare. I'm like, will Uber Eats, like, will they suffer from this at all? No. And that is the real tragedy.
Sort of feels like Uber Eats might even try to prosecute the dad for bringing his kid with him.
Yeah, because it's a liability, and really it should be like, yo, Uber Eats, you guys got to get your shit together.
So really, the only person who comes out of this with any kind of happiness looking towards the future is Dunn and Lee, because, like, you know, they've got their TV show to make now.
And presumably whoever got that Uber Eats order, I bet it was delicious.
Yeah, good, yeah. But not whoever had the next Uber Eats order, because they probably got delayed.
Yeah, they gave him 4 stars for hanging out in front of their house too long. I don't know why you just stayed there after.
Frantically being like, I'm looking for my child. It's like, okay, I gave you 5 stars. Bye.
Accused me of taking his child. 2 stars.
Very noisy.
Oh, no. All right. This next story might be my favorite thing happening in Los Angeles right now, because it's a tough time in Los Angeles. There's not a lot of great things happening, but the graffiti skyscraper is happening. It is the unofficial mascot LA deserves. Oof. There is this high-rise complex in downtown LA, right across from the Crypt, which is crypto.com arena.
I used to live right across from there, and I could see, like, literally, that I looked at that building every day for like a year.
That would be, was it fun living down there?
So I moved in with my boyfriend who was there. It's not my personal style, like high-rises, but there were like a lot of nice things about the building, but also, you know, it was downtown, so difficult to see anyone or get out, but, you know, it was a nice building, and so, you know, it was good.
Yeah, I lived downtown, and it was the same thing. Like, people were not psyched to come visit, and we had a parking deck even, and people were still like, annoying. Yeah, but this, it's in the 1100 block of Flower Street, Ethan. It's called Ocean Wild Plaza.
So familiar.
It was condos and a mall and a hotel, but the developers ran out of funding in 2019. So now it's just a very nice and very gigantic abandoned building. Imagine having that much cash that you're just like, I guess this downtown LA high rise isn't going to work out. Let's just let it rot.
Or maybe it's a tax write off, Zaslav style.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is their Coyote versus Acme.
So, since the city and the developers both aren't using it, residents have decided to start using it instead. For starters, it is now emblazoned with about 30 stories of graffiti, just like from the floor all the way up. And it looks rad. I wish they would just leave it. It looks very neat.
I Googled, like, you know, just to see if there are any more pictures. It is stunning.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And the city is so mad about it. They are so, so angry. It looks cool. Just make it an attraction. I mean, I don't know what we could do with all of that unused housing in LA. I don't know. I can't think of anyone in the downtown area who could maybe benefit from something like that. So,
oh, you could turn it into a Target.
A mega Target.
How about another stadium?
Yeah. Let's play more basketball there across the street.
Do you remember in New York there? This might be like, well, did you ever live in New York, Adam?
For about 6 months.
Okay. Well, there used to be this area, I think it was in Queens, but it was like similar, where it was just so much like people, it was kind of an abandoned area and a lot of taggers and graffiti artists did art there, and it became like its own thing. But then the city ended up, I think someone bought it and then they cleaned it up, but it was kind of a bummer because it was actually an attraction. You know, it was like low key an attraction. It wasn't like, but maybe it was like on like tourist sites and things like that. And people go look at it and take photos and then they covered it up. So maybe this is our version of that.
Yeah, I kind of want to get down there and take some pictures of it before.
Yeah.
Cover it up.
Yeah, now that you're saying that, because I've been like, I was like, I saw the photos I drove by, but now I'm like, you know what? This probably won't be much longer. I should go take some photos, you know? Let's have a day out.
And maybe while we're there, we can hang glide off the top of the building. That is the latest uproar. There is video going around of someone hang gliding off the side of this building, which that seems dangerous. I mean, hang gliding seems dangerous in general, but in downtown LA, there's traffic. Where did they land?
In the crypto.com stadium.
Yeah, there's a helicopter pads all over that area. So maybe they just helicopter to helicopter.
Building to building. I like that. I like that idea. I
found the name of the New York one was called Five Points. And yeah, I wonder if they were trying to do homage to
them. Yeah, it could be. And yeah, I really do wish they would leave it. Instead, they have surrounded it with LAPD officers until they can put up fences to keep people out. And the LA City Council, the notoriously chill and good LA City Council, passed a resolution that gives the building developer until February 17th to secure the building. But they've also apparently been asking that for a long, long time. And this developer is apparently in China somewhere.
They don't care. They're not going to come back. They already lost money.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to fly halfway across the world to put a fence up. Yeah, sure. Carry on.
Absolutely. They're like, we will go to war first. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. The fact that we need more, that their reaction is like, more LAPD, let's pay more police officers to stand around instead of like, I mean, I'm sure it's not safe to live in, but it's like there's just, it's just ripe for like, oh, cool, a building that is paid for, that is almost like, could we maybe just create, it could be like a cool like art setting on the outside and then like literally just like housing on the inside.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild that this is our solution. Like more cops.
I tell you what I would legitimately like to see. And somehow this escaped me. I can't believe they didn't teach it in school in the United States. But at one point in the 70s, indigenous people just like occupied Alcatraz, which is just the phrase occupied Alcatraz is one of the coolest fucking things I've ever heard. Man, I wish the residents of Skid Row would just occupy this building. That would be a fucking thing. Just take it over like Nino Brown took over the Carter in New Jack City. But there's no one living there, so a lot less violence in this takeover. That would be some shit.
I mean, that's a clean annexation then. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I'll do you one better even, like, because I was like, in my dream world, it's like, because so many of these developers are like overseas and they build and they leave and they don't take in their building. If it was people in Skid Row taking it over and actually building it and making it better and living there, like who could even be mad? It's like the developers didn't do anything. They come in, they actually finish building it, live there, make their own community. And it's like, boom, like you can't even say like, oh, you're not paying housing. It's like you literally finished the job that someone didn't do and you deserve to have this, like own this. Whoever can take the building over, build it up, deserves to live in it. Like just have it, like keep it. Just keep it.
But on the other hand, just a counter argument. On the other hand, what if a fence and load of cops?
Yeah, you sold me. Yeah, definitely. I like that. Yeah, yeah, I love
it's,
cops.
It's,
love
it's fences, tricky. Love it's cops. Tricky.
So the fence is made of cops?
Oh, whoa, okay, now we're talking. Just all standing arm in arm, 24/7.
Oof, I don't like that.
Nothing like more cops to help solve the houselessness crisis. Just have them standing in the middle of the street screaming. That will surely put roofs over people's heads.
Yeah, I like in this article, Mayor Karen Bass talks about having to use the already stretched thin resources of the LAPD for this. It's like, fuck off. Fuck right off.
Because I hadn't heard her name out loud before, I thought she was called Karen Bass, which is cooler than what her actual name is. I thought she was a DJ from Sweden from the 1990s.
That's almost never the case. I wonder how many people, like, you could just start doing it. If your name was spelled B-A-S-S, you could be like, it's actually Bass, please.
Why would you want to be the fish one?
Yeah.
Like,
the fish one.
Be the cool instrument one. Like, why on earth?
The choice is yours, Karen Bass. Do the right thing. So, yeah, the city is definitely not considering any sort of thing to make this help the public. They're just looking for new developers and new investors to take the project over.
Well, that sort of lack of imagination is absolutely indicative of Karen Bass. Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
I'll take it. I'll take it if you pay me $50. I'll go and I'll fix it. It might take 10 years.
I would give you $50 to just like go in and like set up an apartment in there somewhere. $100 if you want to set up a few.
What if I get arrested? Will you bail me out?
I don't know.
That's what the $100 is for.
You're in LA. You're not going to have to.
I'm surprised someone hasn't done that already, because now I'm like, that's fun. But now I'm kind of like, Mr. Beast, you know what? This is a challenge to you, Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast could take this over. Mr. Beast has the funds. Mr. Beast. I challenge you. Mr. Beast definitely listens to your podcast, right, Adam?
Absolutely. He actually is an engineer because he's got all that experience. So I want someone who knows what they're doing. Yeah.
Well, since you're listening, Mr. Beast, please, I challenge you to take over this building and build it into affordable housing. And you can make a video out of it and get your little million billion views. that's your challenge.
Your little million billion views. Get your views.
Get your views. Go do your little engagement. Get your little likes and make a house. We love it. Everyone wins.
Oh, this next story. Ron DeSantis, he's not going to be our next president, and that's great. But he is still in charge of a whole swath of the Southeast United States, that being Florida. So he's still a huge problem. He has written a bunch of anti-woke laws into the books in Florida, and they are aimed at, honestly, like when he was pushing it, it was like, oh, well, critical race theory. I don't want them teaching that in schools. But it's really just like you have to ask before you can let your students read a book written by a black person. Like it has
what
literally come to that in especially in Miami-Dade County. There is a parent at Coral Way K through 8 in Miami posted a photo on X. Don't say it. Don't say it. It's just called X. It's just called X. We don't have to say it.
It was called something else before.
You don't have to say it. It's just okay. X. And this image they posted, it showed a permission slip that the school sent home with their child, requiring parents to provide written consent to allow the kid to participate in an activity where, quote, students will participate and listen to a book written by an African American, end quote.
What the fuck?
That is fucking yikes. I wonder how many parents said no. And like, then what's the kid do? Like, do you have to go listen to a book written by a white person? Do you just sit in silence? You get to play fucking Xbox, formerly known as Twitter box. What do you do? This is an alarming fucking.
I can't believe this is real. Wow. I'm looking for like the clickbait of the article and then looking at the actual thing to be like, but no, that's literally what it says. And there's no clarification. It's like written literally by an African American. No mention of the book, the thing with the context. It's like how there's no other way to read this besides literal racism and white supremacy and just like trying to sow that like weird like divide. Like, what the fuck?
I wonder if by being because this obviously isn't a thing that is coming. I don't think this is the will of the school in question. I don't think the school wants to have to do this.
That's the impression I got as well. Like, throughout, it just seems that they're like, we're just trying to cover our asses here. Like, you know, in the event of some kind of horrendous crackdown, we can at least say, well, no, look, we did take legitimate steps.
Right. And I feel like if the school itself was on the side of not teaching woke stuff in school, they probably wouldn't be bringing this book up at all and wouldn't be letting students be exposed to it. So I wonder if the vague language in this permission slip is meant to like later be used as sort of a cover-all thing, where if next time they read a book that is written by an African-American, they can be like, we got this fucking permission slip. You said your kid could participate in that. And maybe that's why they're not being more specific.
Could it be because you said that maybe the school's not on board? Could it be sort of like the teachers protesting in that, like making it like overtly kind of highlighting how ridiculous it is? Because parents will like, I'm reading like, who would write this in earnest? But then the other side of it. And I don't know if I'm biased because teachers, and also it's written in real nice handwriting in a way that makes me think this person's like, I need you to see how ridiculous it is. And maybe that's the goal. Like, it still doesn't change the situation if they're like not in charge, they're not in control. But yeah, this is really weird. The only other thing I could think of, still weird, but because of the wording of it, but is if they have to do permission slips for events that happen outside the classroom, because it's like, oh, it looks like it's a library read aloud. And she described it this way to kind of be like, fuck you to the rule. But if they have to describe anything, like, you know, you're going to the library to paint with your hands. But it's just really weird that they would say, mention to read a book written by an African-American. Like, it could just be like to go to the library to listen to a book, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But there's also another school that sent home a similar form. And theirs, this was iPrep Academy in Miami. They sent a form home with students seeking consent to participate in, quote, class and school-wide presentations showcasing the achievements and recognizing the rich and diverse traditions, histories, and culture innumerable contributions of the Black communities, end quote. So they're literally just saying, hey, Black people did stuff throughout history and we want to tell your kids. And even that apparently in Florida is like a touchy thing.
It's like Black History Month. They're like literally trying to get permission to celebrate Black History Month. Is that the context?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even put two and two together. But yeah, that's almost certainly what's happening.
That's insane.
Yeah.
What? It makes it almost even weirder because all of these, like, I don't ever, like, maybe I'm spoiled and like growing up in the Bay, because it's like, I feel like we're always celebrating some sort of like cult, like, you know, we did Chinese New Year's at school, we did Hanukkah, we did Black History Month, and we always like, but it was never like, you must do this and this is now your culture. Like, the way it's being worded is really divided. If a parent was a white supremacist who was already triggered about anything that could seem like challenging their way, which is like, as it should.
Yeah.
But this is pushing them further into like making it sound like now your child will be raised Black. But it's like, it's not, that's not even the point. It's not, like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to create this divide where it's like, I don't know if I worded that correctly, but that sort of shocking thing that's like, it's not even the point. The point is we're celebrating all cultures, and also you are a white supremacist who shouldn't even fear that. But if that's what you're thinking, that's not at all what's going on. Do you know? Like, it's like, yeah, creating this like false reality.
Either way, it's good that Republicans believe in small government, right? And you know, not you know, putting too much governmental pressure on what people can and can't do. It's good that they really believe in that and act out in the same way.
Yeah, they're very much,
yeah, against, definitely,
government intervening in people's lives and the choices.
It's actually all about individual liberty, Adam. That's what I've found.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a casual observer from across the pond, all I can see is just, it's just freedom all the way down. God bless you all.
Yeah, First Amendment, you know, say whatever you want, but you have to sign a consent form before you say it, for sure, for sure.
You have to sign that form, because otherwise I literally cannot bring up MLK. I can't. I'm not allowed.
Yeah.
Otherwise they'll throw me in super prison.
And like, can you under these Florida laws?
I mean, he is a black man who affected change in America, so I imagine it's not covered.
Or like Malcolm X. Can you talk about Malcolm X? I also don't know how much my school taught me about Malcolm X. I feel like that was knowledge I picked up after the fact. I mean, he was mentioned, I'm sure, but...
Where did you grow up, Adam?
Peoria, Illinois, which
I don't know it.
I often describe as all the crime and poverty of Chicago with none of the nightlife. That was Peoria.
A thought has just occurred, and this sounds so silly, right? I'm about to say something that on the face of it sounds really silly, but considering this law and considering what they had to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would the school be able to mention Barack Obama? Like the 45th president of the United States of America?
That's a valid question.
Because he is a black man who achieved something.
What is the law now? Is it like what's the law?
What's the punishment? What do they do? Like, they beat you with sticks? What?
Is the law literally just like the South will rise again? Like, what is the law? Like,
it's called the Parental Rights in Education Law. And it's actually a combination of two laws that have come to be known as the Don't Say Gay Law and the Stop Woke Act. The Don't Say Gay Law is the one where you can't teach anything about gender, sexuality, none of that. That's going to require a consent form, if you're even allowed to do it with parental consent. I think in Florida,
I've heard of that one. That
might just be like off the books altogether. And then with the Stop Woke Act, it's very vaguely worded, which is kind of the problem. And it's just kind of implying that you can't really teach anything that's going to make white people feel bad. And they do kind of say it that way. It's like, you can't teach anyone anything that's going to make them like feel bad about who they are as a person. And it's like, so slavery's off the table, huh? You can't talk about slavery.
That's insane. But also, school is meant to make you feel bad as a person. So you want to learn and get grades and seek approval and therefore mold into the capitalist, you know, adult that wants to work and has no independent thoughts or dreams or passions. And that's the point. We all did it. Why can't they?
Yeah. Fall in line, kids.
Now, I don't want to make any broad generalizations. You know, I'm not that type of guy. But like they say, don't they, that right-wing parties across the world rely on a somewhat undereducated population in order to keep their voting numbers up. Now, whether you believe that or not, it does really seem like they're trying that. So there must be some truth there, right?
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to make that official, like make it like an official thing they can do.
Vote for us, you dumb fuck.
I think maybe these Republicans should just get jobs writing in Hollywood because they're really good at making up false narratives and completely fictional alternate realities. And honestly, make a HBO show and put it in fiction. It's just being categorized wrong. Write your little show, put it in fiction, and we'll watch it. Maybe I won't, but someone will watch
get
it.
Your little views, your little get engagement.
A billion views. All right, let's talk about this next story. Let's talk about the Midwest. Close out talking about the Midwest.
All right.
It's weird that this next story happened, seeing as how global warming isn't real. But tornadoes very famously require at least some degree of warmth to form, which is why they never happen in, say, Wisconsin in February. Until now, baby. Earlier this month, the first ever February tornadoes in Wisconsin did $2.4 million in damage.
Wow.
Stick a fork in me, lads. We did it. Finally.
We did it.
It's about bloody time in 2024. We've finally ruined the weather so much that Wisconsin is getting tornadoes. Yes. Well done. All the petrochemical companies. I'm so proud of you. I'm tearing up. Honestly, this is the happiest day of my life.
This is alarming. And it's very similar to a story we covered a few weeks ago about the Minnesota Golden Gophers, University of Minnesota Golden Gophers women's rowing team. There was this article all about how they were able to practice on the water in the Mississippi River in the middle of winter for the first time, like in forever. And that article and this article both share one thing in common, and it's that at no point is global warming mentioned.
And quite right too, Adam. Like, you know, I'm sat here and I'm thinking to myself, look, these are clearly two isolated events and absolutely not evidence of a pattern. And then here you are with your tinfoil hat going on and on about how it's all linked. No, Adam, don't be so silly. If it was linked, they would have put it in the news.
That's a great point. Also, like, is this as bad as global warming's going to get? You get to row on the Mississippi River and some cows get a little wind blown in the Midwest. That's it. It's fine.
20 cattle died.
It rains for 18 days straight in California every winter. It's perfect.
That's just what it's like in the UK.
Well, I mean, we have the infrastructure for it, so we're not all going to fall into the ocean if it happens two more times.
That's all it is. Two more times and then that's it. Over. California's in the sea.
You can hit us with all the earthquakes you want. Our buildings are ready for that. But rain?
We cannot handle rain.
No.
My dog can't even handle rain. LA dogs do not. How many LA dogs have just like exploded because they won't go outside and pee during the rain? Like, I bet it's at least two.
Yeah. They won't shit.
They won't. My dog won't. And they're well trained, so they don't want to pee inside. It's a lot. I have to like carry him over dirt, set him down, like hold him until he goes in the rain.
And now imagine you have to do that every day for a month. That's winter in LA now.
Wow. No, I don't want it. I'm just going to jump off that crypto.com graffiti building instead.
Are you going to bring a hang glider with you? That could be a fun afternoon.
No, that was going to take a dark turn. I'll bring a hang glider. You know what? I will yes and the hang glider. I will live in this version of my life. Where I jump off the building. Yes, I would like that.
Oh, no.
I just wanted you to have a nice day, that's all.
So there were actually a few different tornadoes that touched down when this happened. Has anyone ever had to deal with a tornado?
We had one in NorCal growing up that was a big deal in the local town. It blew off the roof of a church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. God didn't like them.
I grew up in the Midwest and tornadoes were an ever-present threat, but I've never had one close enough that it was a problem. I did live in South Dakota, though, during an event called Tornado Tuesday, when something like 130 tornadoes touched down in the state over the course of like 18 hours or something. It was nuts.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever like cowered in a shelter for anything.
See, here in the UK, we don't actually have extreme weather events. Up until maybe within the last 5 to 10 years, we have actually now started to have some extreme weather events. But I'm sure that's nothing. I'm sure that's unrelated to what's happening globally. We probably just sinned against God. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's our turn now.
I think it's Brexit.
Genuinely, at this point, it would not surprise me if Brexit was the cause of extreme weather events.
Maybe it's Ed Sheeran, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, him again.
Also, congrats on Oasis getting nominated to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know that means a lot to your country and all the surrounding areas. Good job.
I listened to the show, Adam, but I can't stand Oasis. I really can't.
I still
I'm so sorry.
So these tornadoes, one of them, it was an F2. You know what that means. It topped out at 135 mile per hour winds, stayed on the ground for 36 minutes, traveling 24 and a half miles with a maximum width of 500 yards. That is 5 football fields, Swifties. That's a lot. That's big as shit.
How much is that in soccer fields?
We don't use that system of measurement in the United States, so I don't know.
Oh, Adam, you knew I was coming on the podcast.
How many is it? I don't know.
Chat GPT. This is where's AI when we need it?
Yeah.
If only there was some way we could check.
Yeah, I don't know how. Well, it's going to come up in like your like stupid meters or something. And then I'm going to have to like crunch numbers, call a librarian, do all the things.
We don't even use meters over here that much.
Well,
it's such a myth.
Well, you will when I get there.
You're going to be the catalyst to make us convert fully to metric.
Yes.
Wait, you guys don't actually use metric?
We use like a kind of bastardized hybrid of both metric and imperial.
Wait, Imperial is what we use or not?
Yeah.
I'd guess so. Yeah.
I was like, what's it called? The normal one. I just call it the normal one.
Yeah, the real one. And then
the real measurements.
And then there's the
But like it's really weird because like we tend to like we have if we go to like a pub or something, you know, a bar or whatever, you'd order a pint of beer. But if you're buying like a liquid from like a grocery store, it will be in liters or milliliters.
Like a gallon. Oh, okay.
So that makes just like sense. There's no consistency at all. It's great.
Yeah. That's kind of like lunar dates in Taiwan and solar, because it's obviously like the world, we all use the date as the solar calendar, but a lot of people still have the lunar calendar and know the dates. And you're basically just having two sets of calendars.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's particularly funny over here because like there's a certain generation of people who say like, I still use Imperial. I can't be converting to metric. I'm too old for that now. And it's like, bitch, we converted to metric in 1970s.
Yeah.
Like most people alive today have lived in a post-metric world. You sit your ass down, old man.
I think that was the last time the United States considered it also. It was like sometime in the 70s. And we were just like, nah, we're good.
Well, but like I said, we only did it like halfway. Yeah, we still drive miles. We still drink pints. Not at the same time, obviously. That would be illegal.
I mean, sometimes at the same time.
1 pint per mile.
Now that is a drinking beer and a driving beer.
Uh-huh. All right. So last story. This is also coming from the Midwest. Good news involving the Chicago PD. And holy shit, is there a sentence you don't hear that often. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's office announced recently that the city will stop using the highly controversial ShotSpotter system. For people who are unfamiliar, that is a technology that uses a combination of acoustic sensors and like machine learning to detect and locate gunfire incidents. And it's a privacy concern that it doesn't work and it tends to be super duper racist. Basically, they just put up sensors all around a given area. I don't know how they decide. And if it hears something that sounds like a loud boom, it notifies the police and says, you better go check that out. Like, even on paper, it sounds like the stupidest fucking thing possible. Like, there's no way that's going to be effective. If there are gunshots going off in an area, like, people are usually going to call the police. I mean, maybe not in areas where people are terrorized by the police, but still. Chicago has spent $49 million on the ShotSpotter system since 2018. And the company that makes it claims it's in use in 150 cities.
Well, I think it's the mark of a country that's on a good path, that you can use the sentence, we had to turn off the gunshot detector that we spent $50 million on because it's racist. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's the mark of a country that is traveling in the right direction. I love that.
Well, you put it that way.
No, we didn't have to turn it off because we got rid of gun crime. We had to turn it off because it's racist.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
And we did an episode about this system a long, long time ago. And it's not just that when there's an alert, it tells the police where to go, but there's also a component to it where it will alert police and then like search social media profiles in the area and tell police like, oh, maybe it's this person because look at what they're posting. Maybe it's this person. So then the police just roll into these neighborhoods expecting that there's gunfire going off and that maybe this hooligan who said something mean about the cops on Facebook is the one who did it. And meanwhile, this ShotSpotter system, someone did a report on it. 89% of the time, there's like no gunshots involved at all. No gun crimes.
What?
And 86% of the time, there's just no crime.
Oh my God.
Happening at all.
Well, I think you're framing that in an extremely unfair way. Because what you should be saying is that 11% of the time it is a gunshot and 14% of the time there is a crime. And but of course, with your liberal agenda, we're throwing out that little detail. No, let's focus on the failure. My God.
You got me.
11%, that's nearly 15%.
This just imagine how confident this, because just the startup world and tech and AI, I'm like, they're clearly going towards, like, you know, marketing towards police money, because it's like, at what point, like, have such a low success rate to be like, our one thing is we detect gunshots and tell the police, and then be like, yeah, but it doesn't work 90%. Most of the time it's just like a cat screaming or someone's singing karaoke, or, you know, like, truly that's the one thing you're supposed is it really that hard? If that's the thing you're doing, like, it should at least do that. It's like, this thing doesn't even work. Like, what?
It sounds like the sort of tech startup that Henry Kissinger definitely would have invested in if he wasn't cold and crusty and dead.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like a gunshot isn't a distinctive sound. Like, I think we all hear, like, fireworks all the time. You hear a car backing up sometimes. If you've ever heard a gun fired in real life once, you know what that sounds like when you hear it again. It's different. And yeah, for it to be that inaccurate. And also, these monitors they put up, they're recording all the time. Like,
oh my God,
they have to.
Right. For, so it's maybe just a secret way to record audio.
Yeah.
Mm.
That wouldn't surprise me.
That makes way more sense. Yeah.
And if it's connected to social media, I have no doubt that a lot of data is being stripped and sold off to companies for advertising purposes. I mean, why wouldn't you at that point? That's another bit of revenue coming in. This is all great and safe and legal. It sounds great.
Yeah, the surveillance in this country is out of control. There's a documentary out there I recommend all the time called The Feeling of Being Watched. And this filmmaker, she lived in a predominantly Muslim community in, I don't remember if it was Chicago or Michigan. I believe it was Chicago. But there were all these people in the community who, like, reported, like, the FBI showing up before Trump was elected to, like, ask him who they're voting for. And, like, just all these weird stories of, like, people who are obviously government agents, like, just being in the community all the time. And she starts digging around and trying to find out, like, how many people in this community is the government surveilling. And it was a community of about 500 people. And by the end, she finally gets them to admit that they were surveilling about 500 people. So, like, everyone in the community. And at one point during that documentary, she gets a Google alert. I didn't even know this existed. She gets a Google alert that says, "We believe government actors are trying to hack into your email." Like, imagine getting that. Like,
from Google?
From Google.
Oh,
I'd be like, "Shit, I thought you were the government, but thank you." That's
wow, nice based up. Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you, Google.
Who saw that coming?
That's like in China, the CCP stuff. I mean, they kind of, like, I mean, they still do, but they, like, I went to visit for a wedding, and it was a lot of the cameras, they don't, you know, because they don't want to pay for it or whatever anymore, but they have it set up. And it'd be like, I had at our hotel, like, one of those, like, outdoor bathtubs, you know, it's very nice, whatever. Literally camera right above. And then my friend was like, "Oh, they don't use those anymore." But I was like, okay.
Sure.
Are you sure?
It's still like, there, though, isn't it? Everywhere. They haven't taken it down.
What? Who set up this CCP camera right outside the bathtub, like, pointing down at the bathtub? Like, all right, I guess we're just gonna get used to seeing cameras and assuming they don't work, or be like, they maybe do, but what are you gonna do about it? Like, that's just the state of it over there.
Yeah, that's intense. They're like, "Oh, they don't use that anymore." So you try and cover it up, and fucking alarm goes off, yeah. Kicks in your door.
Oh my God.
Oh man. So, hey, good for Chicago. They're getting rid of ShotSpotter. This is the rare example of a politician, like, keeping a promise. When Brandon Johnson ran for mayor, he was like, "If I'm elected, we will get rid of that ShotSpotter thing." And they did. So, hey, good for him.
Wow, based Chicago mayor.
Yeah.
To go along with based Google. What a day.
And hey, I think that's our episode, right? We did it. We made it.
That's a good episode, I reckon.
It was. It was fun. Thank you both for doing it. I really appreciate it. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? AdamToddBrown.substack.com and follow me on Instagram at Adam Todd Brown. That's all I got. What else do we got? TT Lee, what do you got to plug?
You can follow me at TT Lee Bot on, like, as in robot, on Instagram and TikTok. I have a comedy EP out. It's it came out last year, but you could still stream it, called Gold Open. And it's on Spotify and all the things. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. Ethan Lawrence, what do you got to plug?
Okay, so for UK listeners, currently my children's sketch comedy TV show Horrible Histories is coming out every Friday. Boat Story on BBC One, a drama that I was in, is out. Magic Mike, you can catch that. If you don't live in the UK and say in America or something like that, then unfortunately it's going to be near impossible for you to access Horrible Histories or Boat Story. Unless, and I would never recommend this, getting like a, you know, if you had like a VPN or something. Obviously, I would never recommend that. And I'm not recommending that now. But if you did want to watch those things, you could do that. You could. I do think Boat Story is going to be coming out soon. I will let Adam know when it does. As for anything else, you want to follow me, it's at Ethan D. Lawrence on basically everything, Instagram, TikTok, and X, formerly known as Twitter.
God damn it. God damn. All right. Let's get out of here. TT, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ethan, say goodbye.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
I knew you were going to say it that way. Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street. Bring a blood object to Bristol Street.